second, or sacral chakra, is about exchange, energy exchange, money exchange, creativity exchange. It's about meeting the other and responding in some way, being stimulated by relationships in various ways. It is about money and creativity and sexuality, and it's about understanding yourself in terms of how others see you. So there is a very important aspect in the second chakra of being willing to receive reflection from others. As we explored in the Root Chakra MP3, you need others. You cannot evolve on your soul's journey without the input, reflection, argument, doubt, questions of others. Now, the root is the foundation, and we always start with the root. In all energy work, in all meditation, in everything, we build up from the bottom. All of the chakras are important, all of the energy centers, all the experiences that will fit from your life into these various categories are all very important, but the root is always where we begin. So if you know in the root chakra that you're safe, then you can, in the second chakra, develop the confidence to listen to others, exchange with them, live with them, be with them, give them feedback, and receive feedback, and you can say yes and no when it matters. One of the core second chakra affirmations I use is, I'm willing to say yes please and no thank you when appropriate. Now that, in fact, is a bit sneaky because most people don't know that they can say no or that they should say yes. Most people, when asked to do things, think that they'll be mean or selfish if they don't do them for the other people. Somebody needs something from you, and who are you not to be kind? That person needs it, right? Isn't that being loving? And as we'll continue to explore in the third chakra as well, the next MP3, identity plays a huge role in each of the lower three chakras. In the first, in the root chakra, it's who you're supposed to be because of the people and places you come from. In the second chakra, it's who others may expect you to be or how you may shape your expectation of yourself in terms of what you assume others expect or require or demand of you. Whether they have asked you for something or whether you perceive they might or could, the second chakra identity is through relationship. So to be empowered in the second chakra, you have to listen to others. You have to know how they see you. You have to be willing to share with them how you see them, but understand that they are in your life for a purpose. You are in their life for a reason. And sometimes you or they, through the dynamic in question, are manifesting something that you're vibrating under the surface. So one example is, if everyone says to you, you're not lovable, are you willing to have that be true? Perhaps you have a doubt that you're lovable, so you manifest other people to say you're not lovable. So what you are vibrating in any chakra will draw other people to you who say it seems to be true. So if you think you are the greatest person ever, you will vibrate other people to you to tell you that. If you think you are a loser because you made mistakes, you will draw other people to tell you that that's who you are. And so in many circumstances, what you learn about yourself from others is not true, but it has something true in it. It's important not to take literally everything you hear. Don't believe everything you read. In this case, don't believe everything you hear about yourself from others. Many, many things that people have said to you about you, or how people have treated you that seemed to make a statement about how they think of you or feel about you. Many of these things are stored in your second chakra. On the face of the second chakra, we look at creativity, money, sexuality. Most people will focus on money, sexuality, relationships will be the other important keyword. But these are all about flow and exchange. So stored in your second chakra are going to be things that you think or fear are true about you because others have said or done things that seem or do indicate these things. If you have a money issue, there's a flow problem, and you have to look at what you maybe have received in the past that you didn't like, criticism, expectation, judgment, something, that might block you from being open to receive more going forward. And this the other way around as well. What you may have given others that you regret giving, that you feel was hurtful, that you wish you hadn't given. When it comes down to it, as I explained in Chakra 1 MP3, every single thing that happens to you that imprints you in important ways is part of your journey, is evidence inspired by and evidence of the conspiracy of love between souls to provide each soul in each dynamic the opportunity to go from fear into love, fear into faith, feeling alone and invalidated into connected and validated. Self-validated. So remember all the times people in your family haven't loved you from the root chakra MP3. It's to push you into loving yourself. Same thing in the second chakra. If everybody disrespects you, you might take a portion of that and store that in your field and then not be open to further reflection from others. That would create a money block. Same with sexuality and creativity. But different people have different focuses, and I know a lot of people with second chakra questions. It's about relationships and it's about money. So how open are you? What have people told you about you? Did you even know that you should read between the lines? One of my intentions with developing this MP3 course for you is to give you tools to use symbolic sight, to see a different perspective, to see the symbolism behind what has happened in front of you that has, to your mind, been capital R real, capital T true. What's actually real and true is that all your dynamics with other people show you where you are in your development. If no one will give you what you need to learn to provide it for yourself. If no one will validate your creativity, you must validate it yourself. You must stop expecting others to do or be something for you. This is a huge part of what the second chakra learning is about for every human. In the root chakra, it's about community, family, and the environment. And if in the root chakra you don't get what you need, love, support, a perception of safety, validation, if you don't get the kind of interaction and validation that you need in the root, you will start to reach out for it in the second chakra to specific other individuals to whom you are not related. And so everything always does come back to the root, because in the second, you must unwind your expectations of other people. Think about how some root chakra needs, basic survival and safety and love needs. Am I loved? This core question that comes up for different people, many people, and can haunt some of us. Am I loved? If they don't love me, well, I'll find someone who does love me. And then the exchange begins, the exchange of information, where your unmet need, you are vibrating, I lack love. You'll draw other people to show you that you lack love. You will not feel loved by those other people. In many ways, your relationship history, the unhappy part of it, is an outgrowth of the root chakra unmet need to feel safe. As I weave this story for you in seven parts, from chakras 1 up to 7, I want periodically to put your attention on how important it is to decide that everything's fine. You are safe. You have the right to be here. You are part of the fabric of life. Your soul had you born for a reason, so that you can learn to choose to validate yourself and not seek this approval from others. Because if you really need it, you'll never get it. Or you'll get it for a time, and then you'll think you're safe, and then that person will leave or die. Or you will leave. And you will feel left alone. You never got that need met. So as a divine being, as someone who is cognizant of the fact that a soul is behind your life, you have the opportunity to validate yourself and take care of all of these unmet needs so that you are a more loving expression of your own divinity and a more conscious expression of yourself as a unique, discrete being. Not running from root chakra things that are missing, gaps, into second chakra relationships looking to be fulfilled to find out that they won't fulfill you. I had a particularly uncomfortable experience in channeling one of the books from Ascended Master Jehudi several years ago, where he said, every single one of your relationships has been to teach you that you're not going to be loved the way you need. Everyone in your family, all of your friends, all of your romantic partners, your mates, spouses, lovers, all of those souls have agreed not to do a particular thing for you that you crave. And this is good. This is right. This is the divine plan to push you into more self-love. So think about what it is you want from others, what you expect or need, what you might demand, what you might require. Keeping in mind that you're not going to get the validation that you need, but that's the good news because that pushes you into your growth. Think about your own relationship history of one-on-one relationships. And sometimes family fits in here, but more often than not, they don't. Or certain individuals in your family that you feel particularly connected to might fit in here. And so you might have relationships with family members that are root chakra and second chakra. But consider your one-on-one relationship history in this life. What you did need, what you expected, what you wanted, desired, what you required or demanded. And also think about how much of a right you feel you have to ask for things that you want or need. If there is unresolved debris, unresolved issues in the root chakra, and you go into the second chakra to get the validation that you want and need, and you're going to have a history of finding out that you can't have what you need, check in with yourself now. Have you evolved or been conditioned into someone who doesn't think you have the right to need anything from others? This would also cut off the flow of energy between you and others and affect creativity, sexuality, and money. I spoke earlier about receiving reflection, but putting it in the proper context, seeking the truth of why you are receiving the reflection you are receiving. If everybody says you're an idiot, will you let that be true? Or will you decide there's some energetic, vibratory reason this is happening? Let me see if I think I'm an idiot. Do I think that? Does part of me fear that may be true? Because that would be why it happens. Not because you actually are. The same if everyone says you're irresponsible, you're unreliable, you're greedy, you're selfish, you're an egomaniac, you're arrogant, whatever it is. Part of you may fear it's true, and so you would vibrationally attract others to tell you it is. So in your relationship history, you may have come to be closed and not ask for what you want or need because you haven't been able to get it. So look at all of your relationships, past and present, as learning grounds about self-love, playgrounds or battlefields, depending, on which to learn how to validate yourself, because it is a guarantee no one else will be able to love you the way you need. It's the core of every human life. So, what did you need that you couldn't ever get? What did you ask for that became unavailable? When you asked for it, someone said, "Oh, you have to take care of that yourself," or, "I'm not responsible for that. I'm not going to do that for you." What is it that you need from others? Why do you perceive you can't give it to yourself? As I've mentioned a couple of times, it's highly likely a sense of safety and security, a sense of validation, of being seen by another about whom you care, being loved by someone you love. Knowing that it's okay for you to relax, open your heart, decide you're safe, and love. If you didn't get that in the root chakra, you will look for it in the second chakra, in relationship with other people. And creativity and sexuality and money will manifest this malfunction of not validating yourself. And so, given your relationship history, who are you? Who have you come to see yourself to be because of how others have treated you? How do you see yourself because of the ways that you've treated others? Have you given with the expectation that someone else will also give? Have you been there for someone else with the expectation that others should be there for you? What is it that you're trying to get from a relationship? Think about an existing relationship. What do you want out of it? What do you need? Is there something in there that you fear you can't give yourself, so you look to others to give it to you? All of these things and more contribute to your second chakra identity. I am who I am because of how others see me or treat me, or I am who I am because of what I do for others. So we have to unwind all expectations of others. We have to be in that no man's land, that weird, uncomfortable place, after we stop seeking what we truly need from others before we really understand how to give it to ourselves. Every single one of your relationships throughout the course of your life has the spiritual or soul intended purpose to show you about where you are in your development to go from fear into love, fear into faith. If someone seemed to love you, that's a message, that's a reflection that's valuable. If someone seemed to not love you, this is also a reflection and it is also valuable. Things can only happen to you because of what you're vibrating. And so, if you are unhappy because of how others have treated you, wouldn't give you, wouldn't reciprocate, took without giving, whatever it is, realize that is a soul showing you an imbalance in how you relate to people. In the second chakra, I talk quite a lot about saying yes, please, and no, thank you when appropriate. I'm always willing to say yes, please, and no, thank you when appropriate, or when it counts, or when it matters. A variant is, I'm always willing to say yes, please, to what I love, and no, thank you to what I do not wish to experience. This leads me to discuss boundaries, which is a topic that belongs in several chakras. But regarding interpersonal relationships, the learning about self through self-other dynamics in the second chakra, there's a very specific focus. Decide what you're willing to experience and what you're not willing to experience. In many ways, this becomes powerfully cemented in the third chakra, the solar plexus, the seat of personal power, the next MP3. But in the second chakra, you learn about what you don't like and what you do like. So you look at your relationship history and you see these people as individual souls who are colluding with your soul in this conspiracy of love. So that each of you learn more about what it means to relate to other people. People will treat you in ways you don't like, just as others will treat you in ways you do like. Your second chakra learning is to track this and be aware of how these things feel, what they make you feel about yourself, and then to choose self-respect and self-care. So, somebody who has felt taken advantage of, or walked all over, or used, or even abused in various ways may hold a grudge and again be closed to receiving further reflection from others and thereby cutting off some relationship possibilities that could be really wonderful. But holding that grudge and having a wall up to make sure you're not hurt again will keep you from being open to learning about all these other things about yourself that people are lined up, souls are lined up to try to teach you. And so you have, in various ways, learned how you do not wish to be treated. Do everything you can to see those past hurts and transgressions as educational. Again, nothing can happen to you without you vibrating, this will happen. And again, you are not to be blamed for this, but take responsibility as an energetic being vibrating commands. Now you know that if you don't say yes and no when appropriate, you will attract certain kinds of people, certain kinds of experiences and treatment. Okay, so draw a line in the sand and decide now you know. Boundaries, most people assume, are about these lines that others cross when they hurt us or transgress us, which is a model of victimization and powerlessness. So, coming to empowerment in the second chakra is in seeing everything that has ever happened to you in relationship of various kinds as pushing you to learn to say yes, please, and no, thank you. And all of these souls are in collusion with each other in the conspiracy of love to push you into empowered action to say yes and no. So, you have learned about boundaries through the disempowered earth perspective that has been in play forever. I encourage you to let this go and not let this be the dynamic through which you work. That is a victim-perpetrator dynamic. So look at what has happened and how you feel about it and acknowledge and honor it. Yes, this happened, this person did this, and yes, this is what it made me feel. And add that overlay, that additional level of interpretation. And that taught me more about saying yes, please, and no, thank you when appropriate. So now you know. In the victim-perpetrator dynamic, in this paradigm, there is a need to hold others accountable and to seek justice for when they have wronged us. There's a great deal of judgment that is formed about who someone is based on what they have done to you. There's a great deal of judgment about who you are because of how you've treated someone else. If you've hurt somebody, however, it can only happen because your souls are in cahoots and that other soul needs that experience just as yours does. So why are you going to judge yourself for participating in co-creating a soul-level learning? And if someone has hurt you, you may feel victimized. You may feel small and powerless and weak. You may have at that time. But it couldn't have happened to you without the collusion and the conspiracy of love between souls. So why hold a grudge about a co-created learning between souls to go from fear into love through saying yes and no when it's needed? Why blame yourself or others for driving each other's evolution? So in the second chakra, there's a great deal of evolutionary possibility in unwinding blame. Accepting responsibility for what one chooses and has done, and additionally, adding the other layer of meaning, which is, and this serves a purpose. Let me see the truth of what purpose this serves. Nothing can happen to you without you already vibrating a command, I'm open to this. This must happen. And so as you think about your relationship history, you can also see all of those people who have not loved you in the right way as support. Other souls showing you what you need to do to love yourself more and better. No soul can do this life alone. None of us can. And so it's important that you're willing to bounce off of others and have them bounce off of you. Two, in your living through your life, bump into others and experience their difference. Develop conversation. Encounter how they see you. Share with them how you see them. Learn from each other, but also learn about yourself from how that person sees you. Always checking, what is the vibration that is creating this dynamic? Now, regarding relationship, others are reflecting to you how you're doing in your self-love discovery journey. People come into your life when what they can bring out of you is ready to be brought out. People leave your life when you are ready to own what they bring out of you. Relationships are not to make you safe. They never will. If you have the love of someone you love, that will not make you safe. That is not a destination that you should strive for. Because again, as I explained in the Root Chakra MP3, safety is an illusion of our infant selves hoping that we turn out to be protected, which means that we're lovable and we're worth surviving, and that someone else who has the power to help us and heal us and protect us and make us feel safe will protect us. This is a childhood illusion. So a person comes into your life when a part of you is ready to be activated, and through the conspiracy of love, that person and you find each other. The conspiracy of love between souls to drive the evolution of each person. So within relationship, there are many layers to work with. Why does this person do this? Why does this person seem unable to hear me when I say this? Why does that person keep expecting this thing of me? What's with these demands and requirements that I behave or be a certain way? Do I do that to that person? All these questions. And they're all part of the learning vehicle of every relationship. You, as a soul, need others. Souls as humans, to learn along your journey. You can't see yourself with objectivity. Others can. You can't see what gaps in self-love you've created, but others will show you. So if others are only here in your life to show you how you're doing with self-love, and they will never give you a sense of safety, then what's the point? Part of you might ask. This kind of thing can put people into spins, into circles, and analytical spiralings down into sadness. It's possible. I've definitely been there when working on these issues. You need someone to mirror things to you. The other person is there mirroring them. But it's up to you to take responsibility for owning what you see. So people bring out of you, they activate and bring out from behind the curtain or up from under the basement, under the surface, something that's true about you that because of your evolutionary stage that you happen to be in, it needs to be activated and brought out, but you don't know how to do that because you can't see all parts of yourself all the time. So other people are there. So your creativity, your intellect, your fun side, humor, your ability to solve problems, your willingness to help, any facet of personality can be brought out through relationship. Anything that is true about a person that may not be nurtured or tended or owned by that person is a candidate for relationship. So when a relationship needs to end or has ended and you don't know how to let go, look at who you are or got to be in that relationship. What you love about that person is in large part how that person inspires you to feel about you. So let's say that you're not quite sure how to let go of an old relationship. Look at who you got to be. How did that person make you feel? What did that person and your time together bring out in you? Because part of you can't let go of that person, that relationship, because you can't afford to let go of that part of yourself. So who were you in that relationship? What part of you shined? What part of you broke through in brilliance through the clouds of doubt and shadow? Once you've identified what that is, you choose consciously to own that part of you, because now you have those memories of that person and how that person brought this part of you alive. Own that's who you are as well, because that's the function of that relationship. That's why that relationship was there. And it was over for various reasons. Person needed to move on. You needed to move on. You couldn't stand each other. Something painful came up and you couldn't process it together. You had to, whatever reasons. But a huge one is you saw the thing about you that you need to own. And that person's job in your life was complete. No one is going to save you from not feeling loved. No one is going to kiss anything better. That's your job. To heal, to own who you are, to accept that you have all along been a powerful co-creator, emanating divine commands. I will experience this and that and this other thing. Your entire life, you've vibrated your experiences into existence. Own this. See that you have choices. And this is a huge part of the second chakra. Now you have your relationship history. You see what happens when you don't make conscious choices all the time. Your unprocessed root chakra issues, your self-esteem validation issues, your not feeling loved issues may have been driving why you had a number of your relationships over the years. So, okay, if you can humbly accept that with compassion, then you can take them as the learning modules that they have been. but you own who you are, and that you have been powerfully vibrating these things into existence. The power is already there. The divine command is already functioning. But how conscious are you of what you want and need, and what you need to say yes and no to? So here we have the power already in place. How conscious are you of what you attract? How willing are you to edit what you are willing to receive? This is the path to empowerment in the second chakra. I've attracted these kinds of people, and I've learned these kinds of things about myself. Okay. How am I going to step forward in my life knowing this? Have you attracted people who can't give you anything? Who are unavailable? People who can't reciprocate, but you know they love you? Have you attracted people who never wonder or ask you how you are? People who never want to hear about your day or know what you're thinking? Have you attracted people who are just like one of your parents? Have you done that over and over again? Have you attracted people who are so involved in what they're doing that they barely even know you exist? Have you attracted people who expect you to be a way you can't be? People who love you conditionally? There are myriad, endless possibilities. But whatever your pattern, you can draw a line in the sand and stop attracting it. You get what you believe you deserve. But even what you believe unconsciously that you deserve. So go back to the root. Am I fine? Is everything okay in this moment? Do I have the right to be here? Do I have the right to exist? Am I okay in being in a body? These root chakra questions. Then you move into the second chakra, where there's a great deal of choice. That is the empowerment path. You know who you are, where you've been. You know what works and what doesn't work. Now, develop the willingness to say yes, please, to what you love and no, thank you, to what you don't. Some parts of you may get tripped up now and then in thinking about this and practicing it because of the patterns of what has come to you in the past. So I say, decide you have the right to say yes, please, and no, thank you when it counts. And you say, that sounds great. Let me do that. And then you keep getting what you've always gotten. You keep saying no to it, and it keeps coming. There's a very important teaching in here, a detail, that is about deciding you have the right to say yes and no. Not just saying no to be defiant, or saying no to not have to deal with something, but saying no because it doesn't serve you. Saying no because of self-care and self-respect and self-love. Being honest with others about what you are willing to give and who you are. You have to assert yourself in the second chakra by saying yes, please, and no, thank you. But you also have to tell people who you are and where you're coming from. Second chakra, as it's about the exchange of energy, it's not about being together so you're safe and then everything's fine. No, it's about an ongoing evolutionary process through which you constantly negotiate ever-shifting terrain with other people. It's always changing, ever-shifting, because each of you is always growing. You're having experiences you choose not to repeat later. That changes what you might say yes and no to later. So engagement, activity, taking action, assertion. This is incredibly important in the second chakra. Most people, when I have them work with these ideas, this is why it's deceptive. It's kind of a trick question almost. Are you willing to say yes, please, and no, thank you when appropriate? it seems like a bit of a trick when we dig into it, because most people will have one strategy they've developed and not realize it. But upon careful examination of this question, they'll realize, oh, I never say yes. I don't know that I have the right to enjoy or to want anything. I don't have the right. I part of me believes I don't have that right. Other people will say, oh no, I never say no because I want to be a good person and I love. Healthy living in the second chakra involves active engagement in saying yes and no. Knowing what works for you and what doesn't, but you can, in the second chakra, you can only know that through experience, relationships, past and present. So instead of resenting what people have done to you in the past, or longing for what you wish they would have done for you in the past, consider now what you are open to, how willing you are to receive what others have to offer. And again, the root chakra health is imperative. If you know you're safe, then of course you can say yes and no when it matters. Because if you say no to what somebody wants, and that person says, I always knew you were a loser, get out. If you don't know you're safe, if you don't have inner security, that might scare you or hurt you. Somebody saying, oh, you know what? I don't love you anymore. You're too hard to love. I don't want to be with you anymore. And it's because you said no to what that person wanted. If you said no because of self-respect, thank this person for kicking you out. Because that person's validating. If you're with me, you can't respect yourself. If you are self-respecting, you don't belong here because I won't tolerate your self-respect. So this is why everything goes back to the root. Decide every day that you're safe and everything's fine, that you're willing to be here. You're willing to see everything in your life as serving a positive evolutionary purpose for your soul's path as a human, to learn through being human, through making choices, and ultimately going from fear into love or fear into faith. So if the root chakra is healthy, when someone in the second chakra says to you, I don't like you, you can say, okay. And it doesn't have to damage you. And if everybody says, I don't like you, you say, huh, for some reason, I'm drawing that to me. So you listen without taking everything personally, without fearing that you are not loved, because you love yourself. You validate yourself. You invest in your own energetic foundation and see everybody else in your life as a messenger and a teacher, as a karma mate. That's an upgrade from the term soul mate, which people take to be very specific. But everybody in your life who has an impact is a karma mate. They're showing you who you are. They're showing you a belief that's crappy or a belief you could upgrade. They're showing you a blind spot you have about self-care. They're refusing to give you what you need to inspire you to learn or to develop the confidence and decide that you have the right to give it to yourself. Every relationship serves a purpose. So why would you blame someone else for pushing you on your evolutionary path? Why would you blame yourself for pushing somebody else onto or down his or her evolutionary path? And so, in a very important way, in the second chakra, we each need to treat every relationship as important, while also recognizing that, in a very fundamental way, each of those relationships is to show us ourselves, and therefore the other person is in one way imaginary. That person who validates you, that person who provides space for you to be sensual or humorous or smart, intellectual, clever, that person who provides space for you to be your most loving self, that person is not real. You are the center of your evolutionary universe. You are divinity learning through your life. You are divine consciousness, a soul, a portion of all that is, learning as you go. You are the prime mover of this entire story that is your life. These other people play parts while it's appropriate that they do, for as long as it's appropriate that they do so. Healing in the second chakra involves all these things, and developing gratitude for all that people have done to you, or shown to you, or kept from you. All the criticism, all the doubts that others have extended to you, it's all helpful for your soul's journey to learn how to be a person and validate yourself. So listen to others, but know that the only reason they're saying this thing or even in your life in the first place at all is to show you how you're doing on your path to go from fear into faith. Take seriously what they tell you, but don't take too seriously what you feel in response. You will be hurt the more honest people will be with you, until you keep going back to that root chakra, deciding that you're safe and everything's fine, deciding that everything in your life is there for a reason. Digging deep and deciding that you're stronger than fear and pain that may come up. And then moving into the second chakra, let me see what life is bringing me to say yes and no to. Let me see what opportunities are coming to me so that I can learn to trust my own decision-making process. Have I learned from my experience to say no to disrespect? Have I learned from my experience to say no to abuse or bullying? Have I learned from my experience to say no to being ignored? To saying I'm more than being a servant. I exist too. Here's who I am. Am I willing to assert myself as an equal within relationship? When I say that to most people, an image may appear in their minds of being egocentric and selfish, self-centered, demanding. That's not it. But willing to negotiate is important. Being willing to negotiate and being willing to compromise. But you must first open your mouth to have something to negotiate or compromise. You must first show up as somebody who is in the relationship. So in many ways, a lot of your confidence issues get played out in the second chakra relative to how you think you do or don't get to be who you are. You do or don't get to want something from others or need something from others. So who are you as a result of your relationship history? Who have you decided you are because of how others have treated you or not treated you? Do you know that you have choice in how others treat you? And do you know you have choice in how you treat others? Whatever it is you cannot get from another person, you must give to yourself. Be grateful to all that you have received, even if it's painful, because this is support from other souls, showing you where you are in the process of self-validation, self-care, self-love. Now, that is the relationship portion of this. Now, I want to apply some of that to money. It is all directly applicable to money because money is an object of energy flow. It is a result of energy flow. It indicates how open one is to flowing. Are you willing to receive? Are you open to input? Are you open to being inspired and stimulated by external sources? Or are you hung up on what you have received in the past that was hurtful? Or what you tried to get but couldn't receive? Again, if you can't get it from somebody else, you need to give it to yourself. So if you own that, part of the money flow issue disappears. If you own that you can say yes, please, and no, thank you to whatever comes next, and you're willing to do so, you're not just fudging it one way and saying, well, I mean, I guess I could say no sometimes, but I never say yes because I don't want to be selfish. Money is a problem if you're not willing to respect yourself and say yes and no when appropriate. So how do you feel about yourself because of how others have treated you? That comes out in your money situation. Do you feel you owe somebody something? Do you feel someone else owes you something? This is the energetic source of debt, monetary debt, credit issues, credit card debt issues. Decide that no one owes you anything emotionally, physically, or monetarily. Decide you don't owe anyone anything. You don't owe anyone love, physical issues, or money issues. And so, as you may suspect, getting deeply into these second chakra issues regarding relationships as well as money, though talking about money, it's a more obvious manifestation of these issues. It can be. Do you hold yourself accountable for wronging someone? Do you feel you owe that person something? Or the other way around? Do you hold someone else accountable for wronging you? Are you waiting for justice? Are you waiting for an apology? Well, again, the dynamics that have occurred have happened because your soul set them in motion with those other souls. It's a conspiracy of love through which each benefits equally. I'm going to lie to you because you need to learn the value of being honest, but I need to learn what it feels like to not be honest. We each benefit equally from the soul's perspective. Oftentimes it may look like somebody gets away with something and you feel left in the lurch. You have to decide to fix your money issues. You have to decide that you are in the conspiracy of love with these other people and that the thing could not happen if it were not a module or a step or a stage in your journey to learn more about saying yes and no when you need to. It is very prevalent in a number of people's lives to have a money issue because they're still waiting for someone else to make them feel safe. So you take that root chakra gap or sense of lack, you take it into relationship. Will you validate me? Do you love me? Will you love me the way I need? Will you give me what I need? Endlessly for years and decades. And to have that manifest as a money issue at some point. I can't get what I need. Well, what you need is validation. And you can give it to yourself. And every single person's money flow problems can be fixed by that person. Stepping into an empowered perspective on what has happened in relationship and in family thus far in life. Own what you've experienced as your divine co-creation. Take responsibility for the reality that you are vibrating commands into existence and choose what you vibrate. Evaluate everything that comes to you in the form of other people. And your power is in saying yes to what works for you. Yes, please. And no thank you to what you choose not to experience. So your main job in the second chakra, in many ways, is to decide you have the right to say yes and no, and then actually do it. It's a muscle in consciousness. And I encourage you to practice on little things. things that don't matter, or things that seem so minor and trivial that they don't matter. I have one example. For a few years, I dated several women over a few years who all loved French restaurants. This was in a couple of different cities. And the service was always terrible. These bistro type places, not like a formal sit down place, but like these bistro places. The service was terrible and I didn't like the food. And I never said no because I wanted to be likable. I wanted to be pliable. I wanted to be flexible. And I wanted to make her, these different hers, happy. So she wanted to do that. I'd say, sure, I can do that. But I didn't like it. And it bothered me. Now, I'm willing to say, if somebody says to me, oh, hey, let's check out the French place, I say, oh, let's do something else. I don't like that. I'm not making a big deal. I'm not blaming those old girlfriends who love the French places. I'm not bitching about it. I'm not saying anything, but I would like to make a different choice. That's part of compromise and negotiation. And the other person will either say, oh, that's too bad. Really? Why? Or the person will say, sure, then how about this Thai place? And I'll say, great. I actually have a couple of friends these days who love Ethiopian food. I do not enjoy this. I don't. I just don't enjoy it. So one of them periodically suggests it, and I just shoot it down every time. Not to be a jerk, not mean, just saying, oh, I don't like that. Let's do something else. And he's learned. But, you know, it comes up. People love eating with their hands, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I've always been sick after I'd eat Ethiopian food. I have always had a real problem. So that's self-respect for me not to do that. It might be wonderful. It might be amazing, but it's not for me. And there's nothing wrong that I assert that. I'm not saying, friend, you are a bad name because you like that. I'm not saying those people are blah, blah. I'm not saying it's terrible food. I'm saying that's what I choose not to do. I decide to step up. Again, I'm not blaming anyone in the past for what happened, you know, continually eating French food, whatever. You know, that's not it. I'm not making anybody wrong, but I'm willing to assert myself. And if the other person doesn't like it, well, then there's a conversation to be had. If the person doesn't like it, it's probable that he or she doesn't understand and would be curious about why. And if I explain it, the person will say, oh, well, that makes sense. Okay, you don't like that. That's normal human relationship, seeking to understand each other, learning through new experiences that you've never had, the other person's telling you about, or the other person leads you into. So to be open is critical, and to be discerning all the time, and to recognize those things that you really need to fight for and things that you maybe don't. In these two examples, I don't need to, you know, fight to make sure I never go to a French restaurant again. But I need to do that for the Ethiopian thing. The first thing is an attitude thing. The second thing is physical health. I choose not to be sick. But the other thing, you know, maybe I could be flexible about. Negotiation and compromise are healthy. So I'm not defending myself. I'm asserting what I want and what I don't want. And I'm willing to work with others on certain things and other things I can't. That is normal and healthy in the second chakra. So when all of that is up and running and you make choices based in self-respect, money is not an issue, because in the root, you know you're safe. You know everything's fine. In the second chakra, you know with absolute certainty that you have the right to say yes, please, and no, thank you, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I add, without apology. I have the right to say yes, please, and no, thank you without apology. Because just because someone expects something of you doesn't mean you should do it. But again, the unmet need in the root to feel loved and validated and safe may make us do things into the second chakra that are not grounded in our reality, our individual self-respecting reality. So we might be willing to compromise so much of ourselves what we want and need to the point that we don't know who we are because we're just trying to get love from others. And that translates into money as well. I've worked with people looking for a job and they're desperate for money because they have survival fears. So they take the fear of the root into the second chakra. I tell every single one of them, decide that you're safe. Decide that life is supportive. Look at what has hurt you in the past and decide that it has actually helped you become a better person. Be grateful to those things. Life is supportive. But if you're freaking out about money and safety, you cannot find those things. You cannot find money. Money will not come to you. Money is the energy of love. It's a manifestation of the flow between people, which is love, the exchange of love. So be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have received in the past, even if it's painful and has damaged you or left marks. Be grateful, because it could only happen to you if your soul vibrated it, if you vibrated it into existence to teach you more about going from fear and lack into faith and love. Thank you for your time and energy. This is the end of the second chakra MP3. Take care of yourself.